Session snapshots before mix changes, intermediate, Ableton Live workflow for drum and bass. Alright, let's talk about one of the biggest silent killers in drum and bass mixing, the snowball. You cut 300 Hz out of the bass to clear room for the kick, then the kick feels clicky so you brighten the hats, then the snare suddenly feels thin and now you're 5 moves deep. You don't remember what the bass line sounded like, and you're emotionally attached to a direction you can't even verify. So today you're building a snapshot workflow in Ableton Live. The goal is simple: make bold mix moves fast, but always have instant rollbacks and cleanest/B comparisons without mirroring your creative momentum. By the end, you'll have 3 layers of safety. 1. Hard checkpoints with save live set as. 2. Rapid/B snapshots inside audio effect racks. 3. Bomb-proof duplicates for high-risk experiments like resampling, heavy linting, or routing changes. And we'll also add the stuff that makes snapshots actually useful: locators, notes, and level matching, so you're not being tricked by loudness. Let's get into it. Step 0. Prep your DNB session so snapshotting doesn't break your routing. Before you do anything fancy, group your core elements. If you're in session or arrangement, same idea. Select your drum tracks and group them. Call it drums. Select your bass layers and group them. Call it bass. Then music for your tonal stuff, and effects for risers, impacts, noise. This grouping matters because drum and bass mixes usually live and die at the bus level. You're often shaping the drum group as one instrument, and the bass group as one instrument, and then balancing those two against each other. Next, set up a few returns. You can keep this simple, but here's a super practical set. Return A, drum room, short room, something like hybrid reverb on a tight room setting. Return B, dub echo. Ableton Echo works great. Return C, parallel smash. This is your danger return. Compression, saturation, whatever you use to add attitude. Now color code and label. It sounds boring, but it's not. Snapshots only save you if you can read your own session quickly at 2 a.m. when your ears are cooked. Drums orange or red, bass purple, effects green, whatever system you like. Just make it consistent. Cool. Now you're ready. Step 1. The safest snapshot. Save live set as. This is your hard checkpoint. It captures everything. Routing, devices, automation, weird hidden stuff you forgot about. It's the one thing that won't betray you later. Go to File, Save Live Set As. Don't overwrite. Make a new version. Name it with a pattern that includes a version number and the intent. For example, track name V12 Premix Bass Drums Punch, or V13 Bass Titan Multiband. Teacher tip. Don't name it based on your feelings. Name it based on the decision you're about to test. You want future you to instantly know why this version exists. And here's a drum and bass habit that will save you months of pain. Checkpoint before you touch any of the following: bass bus compression or multiband, drum bus glue, limiting, clipping, anything mastering-ish on the master channel, and big EQ cuts on the sub or kick fundamental. Because low end is fragile in DNB, one smart move can hollow the entire tune and you'll start chasing ghosts. Optional but clean, inside your project folder, create something like an underscore snapshots folder and keep these versions organized. Not mandatory, but it helps. Now step 2, fast/B snapshots using audio effect racks. Device chain snapshots. This is your rapid comparison system. The goal here is, don't open another project file just to answer one mix question. You want instant switching while the loop is playing. Let's do the drums group first. On your drums group, build a rack. Drop an audio effect rack at the end of the drum bus processing, or wrap your existing devices into a rack. Quick way, select your drum bus devices and group them. Inside that rack, create 2 chains. Name one drums clean. Name the other drums punch. Put your current baseline chain on drums clean. That's your anchor. Do not improve the clean chain. The whole point is that it stays boring and trustworthy. On drums punch, you'll try a punchier chain, a solid starting point. Glue compressor with a medium-fast attack, like 3 milliseconds. If you want it to smack harder, try 1 millisecond, but be careful. Too fast can flatten your transient. Release on auto, or something like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2:1 for gentle glue, or 4:1 if you're really leaning into it. Soft clip-on. And aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. You're not trying to pin it, you're trying to shape it. Then drum bus after that. Drive maybe 5 to 15%. Keep it tasteful at first. Transients plus 5 up to plus 20 if you want more snap. Boom at 0 to maybe 10. But in drum and bass, boom can instantly fight the sub. So treat that knob like it's loaded. Then EQ 8. Very subtle. maybe a gentle high shelf, 1 dB around 8 to 10K if the hats need lift, and maybe a tiny dip, 1 to 2 dB around 300 to 500 if the group feels boxy. Now map switching so you can actually use it. Open the chain list, show the chain selector, and set the zones so clean is at 0 and punch is at 1. Map the chain selector to a macro called a /B drums. Now you can switch while the drop loop plays and immediately hear what's different. That's the power. Quick coach note, when you a /B, keep the change focused. Don't change 5 things and call it punch. The best snapshots answer one question at a time. For example, do the drums hit harder without making the snare lose body? That's a clean question. Okay, same idea on the bass group. Create an audio effect rock on the bass group. 2 chains again. Bass line. Bass tight dirty. Bassline is your current sound. Tight dirty is your experiment. On the experiment chain, try an EQ8 first. Important detail. Don't high pass your actual sub layer unless you truly know what you're doing. If you have a separate sub track, you can high pass the mid layer only. On mids, you might roll off around 25 to 35 Hz just to remove rumble, steep if needed. Then look for low mid mud, often around 120 to 250. If a note is blooming, a small notch can clean it up fast. Then multiband dynamics for control. Subtle on the low band. Indeed, NB, overcompressing the low band can remove the push that makes the groove feel expensive. Mid band, 200 Hz to 2K, that's where you can tighten the growl and stop it from swallowing the snare. High band, tame fizz if the distortion is spitting. Then saturator. Analog clip or soft sign are good starting modes. Drive 2 to 6 dB, and use soft clip if needed. Then utility at the end for stereo sanity. A classic D&B move. Keep the sub mono. If you've split sub and mids, set width low on the sub, like 0 to 30%. The mid layer can be wider, but the foundation needs to translate. And again, map the chain selector to a macro. Call it a /B bass. And here's the big principle. Snapshot before you fix the bass. Bass fixes often create new problems. You tighten the sustain and suddenly the groove loses swing. You add harmonics and suddenly it masks the snare crack. So always keep your bassline chain intact. Step 3. The high-risk snapshot. Duplicate the entire group. Audio effect rack snapshots are great, but they don't capture everything. If you're about to change routing, sidechain sources, parallel networks, resample workflows, or commit to flattening, you want a bomb-proof option. Right-click the bass group, duplicate it. Name them Bass Arig and Bass Experiment. Turn off Bass Experiment for now so you don't accidentally double your low end and wonder why the master is exploding. Keep routing identical. Same sends, same output, same side chain sources if possible. Use cases. Trying a new Reese distortion chain. Changing your side chain strategy from compressor to volume shaping automation, or doing heavy resampling and EQ surgery. It's slower than racks, but it's the safest way to explore without fear. Step 4. Snapshot the arrangement context with locators and notes. In drum and bass, a mix change can sound amazing in the drop and terrible in the breakdown. Or it can feel clean at bar 1 and harsh by bar 29 when fatigue sets in. So when you make a snapshot, also tag where you were listening. In arrangement view, drop a locator at the section you're evaluating. Name it like V12 pre-mix bass drop A or V13 bass tighten first 2 bars. And I want you to get into this habit. Put the version number, the change, and the context. Context is huge. For example, checked in mono, checked on headphones, checked on small speaker. Even better, add a muted MIDI track called MIX notes. And after each meaningful snapshot, write 2 lines. What improved? What got worse? Example, V13 drum bus punch rack. Improved, kick reeds on small speakers. Worse, snare lost 200 Hz body. This prevents loop amnesia, where you keep looping 8 bars and forgetting what you were solving. Step 5. Snapshot your gain staging so comparisons are fair. A /B is meaningless if one version is louder. In D&B, 1 dB louder on the drum bus will trick you into thinking it's automatically punchier. That's loudness bias. So before you judge, level match. Easiest method, put a utility at the end of the rack chain or at the end of the bus and trim gain so the perceived loudness is similar between A and B. Not perfect science, but do your best. Put spectrum on the master to sanity check the low end. And if you want a safety net, a limiter on the master with the ceiling around minus 0.8 dB, only catching peaks, not smashing. This is not mastering, it's just preventing accidental clipping while you compare. Extra coach move, make a permanent sanity strip on your master or a dedicated print track. utility for mono and gain trim, spectrum or a meter, and a safety limiter. Leave it there so every snapshot is judged under the same monitoring tools. Now, quick common mistakes to avoid. Don't snapshot too late. If you've already changed 5 things, you already lost the point. Don't use chaotic names like final 2. Use version plus intent. Don't /B without level matching. Don't snapshot devices but forget routing changes. Rax won't capture I changed my sidechain input unless you're careful. And don't over snapshot and freeze your flow. You don't need a new version for every tiny EQ tweak. Save snapshots for meaningful decision points. Now a few pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. Snapshot before you add harmonic weight. Saturation feels amazing until it suddenly isn't, and then you're stuck in a harsh, crunchy place you can't undo. Keep a clean anchor chain. Try a fog versus knife /B on drum top end. One chain darker, thicker room, rolled highs. Another chain crisp hats, tighter room, less verb. That one idea alone can dial the whole vibe. Moody roller versus sharp dansifloor edge. For bass, build a monos safe versus wide threat snapshot. One chain conservative with width reduced and careful mid-side EQ. Another chain wider on the mid layer but sub still mono. Then test in the drop and on small speakers. If it only sounds good on your studio monitors, it's not done. Also, be careful with parallel smash. Parallel can wreck balance fast. Snapshot the return processing before you crank sends. High pass the return so you're not dragging extra low end into the mix. And if you're resampling, do it safely. Checkpoint with save live set as. Duplicate the bass group. Then resample or flatten the experiment only. That way you can always go back to the synth version. Optional advanced variation if you like session view. You can create a snapshot scene row. Make a scene called snapshots. Create dummy clips on a track called snapshot triggers and use clip envelopes to target your rack macros. Each clip recalls a macro state, giving you a /B/C/D vibes without opening new sets. Super powerful for quickly testing drop needs more bite versus break needs more space. This audio version is shortened for playback.